Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
5 minutes past nine here in Bonn, Germany. 7:05 in Freetown, Sierra Leone. Good morning and welcome to Africa Link. I'm Crispin Mwakideu. Our main story is this Monday, 25th of May. Voting in Sunday's election in Ethiopia has been extended until today. What issues do voters need to be addressed?
A lot of people said that the key things on their mind is peace and development and stability.
As Sierra Leone marks 1 year since the first Ebola case was detected, WHO says it is doing all it can to contain new infections.
We are working closely hand to hand with the government. We are providing them with technical support, but also financial support.
And we shall also bring you the next installment of Crossroads Generation, a learning by ear production.
Top story.
Back to where it started. It was 1 year ago when a pregnant lady and an elderly housewife staggered into Kenema Hospital in eastern Sierra Leone. They were quickly diagnosed as the country's first Ebola patients. Since then, the virus has spread and killed almost 4,000 people in Sierra Leone alone. Apart from stigma and coping with the loss of loved ones, those who survive suffer from loss of vision, muscle pains and other symptoms. But in this misery are stories of bravery. Hajja Fatmata Kargbo got Ebola and survived. Now she volunteers with Sierra Leone's Red Cross and reaches out to Ebola victims. Daniel Pels and Abubakar Jallo met her in the capital, Freetown, and filed this report.
Hajja Kargbo washes her hands in a blue bucket on top of the stairway. Then she disappears in a labyrinth of filthy, narrow lanes between huts. This is Moa Wharf, one of Freetown's worst slums. Since last year, Moa Wharf is also an Ebola hotspot. Only a few outsiders are allowed to enter the area. 31-year-old Hajja stops in front of a house. A soldier stands next to a blue and white tape with the word police on it. The residents here have been in contact with an Ebola patient. Now they have to be under quarantine for 21 days. Hajja is one of the volunteers who regularly visit the people to check if they show Ebola symptoms or not. She knows firsthand how important this job is.
I did not feel good. I used to cry a lot when I had Ebola. I was so afraid when they took me to the treatment center. I did not feel good, but after Red Cross staff members supported us, I began feeling better.
For talk to people and at the treatment center.
The people inside the house are furious. Staying indoors for 21 days and the fear that they might have contracted Ebola is making them angry. Hajja smiles and goes behind the tape, where the people are, and tries to calm them down. Ramata Jallo, the team leader of the volunteers, is watching Hajja from a distance. A proud smile plays around her lips. She is still amazed at what happened to the traumatized Ebola survivor who joined her team some months ago.
Every 2 days, I was going to her house. So, but the way I saw her, every day you go there, you meet her lying down in the room, or she's sitting down alone, not talking to anybody. I started to ask questions. I asked until the mother told me that she is not happy because she's not doing anything. Now she don't have any more money to buy soap or whatever not. I said, okay, we'll look into it.
Now Hajja is more than busy. When she has done with the Red Cross for the day, she sells mangoes. She needs every cent she can get. Ebola killed not only her husband, the main breadwinner of the family, but also two of their children. Now she has to earn enough money to feed her aging mother and her 5-year-old son. Working helps her to overcome the sorrow. But sometimes she dreams of a better future, far away from Sierra Leone.
My dream? I like to go to Europe.
That report was compiled by Daniel Pels and Abubakar Jallo. While Liberia was declared Ebola-free on the 9th of May, Sierra Leone and Guinea still discover new cases every week. Recently, the numbers have been rising in both countries. Last week, health officials confirmed 35 new cases. Jean-Marie Dangu, WHO's country representative in Guinea, has been telling Isaac Mugabe why new cases are sprouting.
When case numbers diminish, we often see a trend of communities beginning to take on a more relaxed attitude towards the virus. This is exactly why WHO has increased their efforts in all areas in Guinea to ensure that we reach zero cases as soon as possible and we stay there. As you have seen in Liberia and Sierra Leone, small flare-ups are common towards the end of the response.
Not only have the number of new infections risen by 4 in both countries, districts that haven't had cases for a long time have begun seeing new infections. Is there a danger of the epidemic spreading again in those countries?
You know, until the epidemic is declared over, there is always a risk of the virus spreading, whether that be within one prefecture or into other prefectures, and eventually from a country to another. This is caused by the displacement of individuals with the Ebola virus and also for the displacement of dead bodies. For this reason, WHO will continue to work around the clock to fight this epidemic right down to the last case. We are also taking measures to ensure that the communities understand this risk. Right now, we are focused on ensuring communities remain vigilant. We recently launched a four-day surveillance campaign in Furikaria, one of the active prefectures, 150 kilometers far from Conakry, which saw teams of doctors, social mobilizers, and also community surveillance workers visiting 8,033 households. So these door-to-door teams went from household to household to sensitize the families and to identify any cases which have not declared themselves voluntarily.
And how closely are you working with authorities?
We are working closely, hand to hand with the government. We are providing them with technical support, but also financial support through the money given to us by donors.
WHO Guinea Country Director Jean-Marie Dangu.
Get the stories that are shaping the continent here on Africa Link.
Let's head to Ethiopia, where the country's electoral board has extended polling in some universities and colleges until today, Monday. That's because there had been a shortage of voting materials. Ethiopians voted on Sunday in the country's first general elections since the death of strongman Meles Zenawi in 2012. His successor, Haile Mariam Desalegn, is set to remain in power with the ruling EPRDF. Analysts say the election in Africa's second most populous nation falls short of true democracy, and spokesmen for the opposition Blue Party say the election was full of games, meaning election malpractices. DW Simona Fulton is in Addis Ababa and has been telling Isaac Mugabe the mood in the capital.
The mood was generally very quiet. A lot of people said that the key things on their mind is peace and development and stability. Pretty much every voter I spoke to mentioned those things. Of course, a lot of them still have very much in mind the violence that followed the 2005 vote when the opposition took a significant share of the seats and thousands of protesters took to the streets after the election results were announced. And it seems that both the authorities and most voters want to avoid that scenario.
And we understand there was voter intimidation. What more can you tell us to that effect?
Yes, so I've spoken to a few opposition party representatives, specifically the Blue Party and the leading opposition coalition, MEDREC, and both have mentioned instances of voter, maybe not intimidation, but inducement to vote for the ruling party. And both have also mentioned obstruction of their observers to enter polling stations, both in Addis Ababa and outside. The Blue Party even mentioned that a few of their observers were under some sort of a house arrest and were actually not allowed to leave their homes in order to go to the polls and do their job of observing the vote. So there are a few allegations. Of course, I mean, these are things that are very difficult to verify. I actually went to one of the polling stations where I heard there were irregularities but couldn't observe anything myself. So there will be surely a lot of allegations. To what extent there will be evidence to prove them, that will be another question.
And what have electoral observers been saying about the manner in which the elections were carried out?
So I myself have gone to 5 polling stations in Addis Ababa, and I have only seen citizen and civil society observers. As you know, the European Union is not deploying an observation mission this year after its 2010 findings were rejected by the government. The African Union is deploying observers. I haven't met any myself, and so far there has been no official statement released. The citizen observers have all been saying that there are no irregularities, but we of course have to remember these are people who have been elected under the auspices of the local government. A lot of times they are community elders who have no formal training and very little awareness of what to look out for. So they may not be in the best position to really detect irregularities.
DW correspondent Simona Faltin in Addis Ababa. You're listening to Africa Link, live from DW studios in Bonn, Germany. Older people count. That is the message from South Africa's retired Archbishop Desmond Tutu. The Nobel Peace Laureate has posted a video in which he appeals that all ages, particularly the elderly, should count when governments agree on a transition from Millennium Development Goals to Sustainable Development Goals later this year. His message came in support of Help Age International, which marked the All Ages Day with a peaceful march in Nairobi. Alfred Kitty reports.
The population of older people in sub-Saharan Africa is projected to increase fourfold from 36.6 million in 2015 to 141 million by the year 2050. Human rights activist, 84-year-old Archbishop Desmond Tutu, has joined the Action 2015 campaign organized by Help Age International, telling the world that everyone in society is important.
As we get older, our bodies change, but our rights do not change. 2015 is an important year for us oldies. We'd like to tell the world that we count, that older people everywhere count, and that people of all ages should be considered when we set our sustainable development goals.
Today, there are more than 895 million women and men aged 60 and over, representing 12% of the global population. By the year 2030, this is projected to rise to 1.3 billion, or 16%, while the proportion of people aged between 15 and 24 years will be 15%. Desmond Tutu is backing the young and the old to demand that everyone counts when governments agree global goals to reduce poverty at the UN later this year. 81-year-old Mama Roda Ngima is an age campaigner who has worked for Age Demands Action in Kenya, an affiliate of Help Age International, for over 15 years now.
We have nowhere to go except to come to tell government to think about us. We need them, and we need to working with our government.
Help Age International helps older people claim their rights, challenge discrimination, and overcome poverty so that they can lead dignified, secure, active, and healthy lives. The Action 2015 campaign is being carried out by people from all walks of life, including the youth. Welta Mutile of Portraits of Hope Africa is championing for the rights of the youth.
What we need our world leaders to understand is that youth life matters at this point. We want to know about financing for development. We want to account our leaders accountable and make them answer their promises.
And that report was compiled by Alfred Kitty in Nairobi. Time now to sit back, relax, and enjoy Crossroads Generation, a Learning by Ear production.
Deutsche Welle, Learning by Ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hi there, and thank you for tuning in to Crossroads Generation. This is our ongoing radio drama about the challenges facing young Africans.
We're standing at the crossroads, we're looking for our way. Crossroads Generation, our future starts today.
We all know about Dan, the 19-year-old who started a green business. He's already convinced Mrs. Jumba to be his senior partner. Last time, he was trying to get more people to join him in his campaign for a cleaner environment. He spoke to the director of Kisimba Special School.
I'm planning to organize a group of young environmental activists here in Kisimba, and I was wondering whether you could help.
You know this is a special school, don't you? All the students here have some kind of disability.
Yes, I know that. But
I think that's all the more reason to get them involved, because as well as saving the environment, the students would also be helping to change perceptions in society.
Dan has already asked Tina and Anita to be part of the group, and the first meeting is about to take place. Meanwhile, Marcy and her husband Nikki have been going through a rough patch because Nikki is finding it hard to accept that he's HIV positive. For Marcy, it's sometimes really tough to support him. Last time, she told her friend Tina about it.
Sometimes I ask myself if I did the right thing marrying him.
Did you go and see the counselor Margaret again, like I told you?
I want to, but...
But what, Marcy? This is no joking matter.
Will Marcy follow her friend's advice and seek support from the counselor? Let's find out in today's episode, Only Dead Fish Go With The Flow.
Thank you for seeing me at such short notice, Madam Margaret.
No problem at all, Marcy. And please, just call me Margaret. So how's Nikki, your husband? I thought you would come together.
Well, I wanted to see you on my own, without him.
All right. And what seems to be the problem? Is he taking his antiretroviral drugs and eating well?
Yes and no.
What do you mean?
I mean, he hasn't missed a dose since he started taking the drugs, but...
But?
But the food. Sometimes he eats well, and sometimes he just picks at it.
Why is that? Doesn't he have any appetite?
I don't think it's that. It's a mood thing. He has these mood swings, and I don't know how to deal with them anymore. Sometimes he's super happy, and sometimes it's like he's just off in his own world.
Listen, Marcy, Nick is going through a difficult transition at the moment.
I know, but...
It's not uncommon for people who've recently been diagnosed as HIV positive to behave like this. He's still struggling to accept his condition. He may well be antisocial and easily annoyed.
But what do I do?
The thing is, in his mind, Nick is convinced that everyone knows about his condition, and they're all judging him. What he needs is for someone to understand him, guide him, and stand by him.
But that's what I've been trying to do.
It takes time and a lot of patience. I know it's not easy for you, Marcy, but believe me, you'll both get used to the situation eventually. You can also take time to spend with him, just the two of you. Exercise with him, go out with him, do things together, and together, you'll find a way to deal with it long term.
Thanks, Margaret. It's always a relief talking to you.
Anytime, Marcy. Anytime at all. I tell you what, I'll schedule an appointment for the two of you to come in together. How about next Wednesday at 5 o'clock? Does that work for you?
I'll have to check with him, but I'll confirm with you as soon as I know.
All right. If it doesn't work out, just let me know and we'll schedule a different time, okay?
Okay. Bye, Margaret, and thank you very much.
Bye, Marcy.
I'm Anita.
Hi, nice to meet you. My name is...
You must be Tina.
Yes, I am. How did you know?
Dan mentioned you might be coming, and when you spoke, I recognized your voice from the university radio. You're doing a great job.
Thank you. Are we the only ones here?
Yeah, but the director of the school where I work will join us later.
Okay.
Our students might be taking part in the project, but we'd only be able to work with them at the weekends and during the school holidays. By the way, who's that lady Dan's talking to over there?
Isn't that Mrs. Jumbe?
Do you know her?
Yeah. My friend Marcy is married to her son Nikki. Crazy woman.
Wait a minute. Are you talking about Marcy Msoto?
Yes. Do you know her?
Yes, I do. Oh. She was my friend in high school. I'll kill her. How could she get married without telling me? Oh, well, maybe I shouldn't blame her. We lost touch when I went back to Laboria.
Jump in!
No, the water's cold and it's very dirty today. I think I'll fish from over here.
It's not cold. You're just a sissy.
Shut up. Hey, can you look? There are fish everywhere. There's one floating right next to you.
Ha! I'll try and catch some. There! I got it! I got it! That was easy.
Yes, you're going to eat fish for supper.
Yeah, fish for supper.
Hey, you!
Kadu, it's that crazy ranger who's always chasing us away from the river.
Huh?
Come on, Kadu, run!
Hey, you kid! Get out of the river and throw that fish away. Can't you see it's contaminated?
La 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 la.
You can't catch
You can't catch
Hey, stop!
La 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 la.
Too slow.
slow. Very slow.
Damn it! These kids! I hope they don't eat that fish.
Excuse me, guys. Just moving a bit closer. First of all, I want to say thank you for your interest in joining this group of young environmental activists.
Welcome.
Secondly, I'd like you to meet Mrs. Jumbe. I know. Mrs. Jumbe is obviously a little older than we are. But she's young at heart. And she has expressed an interest in joining us as a patron. A silent observer.
Well, I won't always be silent. I couldn't even if I tried.
Okay, let's get started. Does anyone have any ideas they want to share to set the ball rolling? Yes, Anita?
I think the best place to start would be for us to define our objective. What do we want to do? How do we want to go about it? And so on.
The whole community could live a lot better if we all avoided doing certain simple things that damage the environment. Like casually throwing away plastic bottles, or leaving rubbish in the street, or cutting down trees to make quick money. Obviously, what we need to do is raise awareness among the people of how these things affect them. We can start just by educating the people close to us. Talk about it with our friends, neighbors, colleagues, and so on.
I agree. Civic education is very important. It sounds as if radio would be a great medium for this, but my program is about women's issues.
The environment affects women too.
Exactly. And vice versa. You don't have to change the focus of your show. You can just add an environmental angle. Anita, I suggest you should be in charge of recruiting and training young activists.
Fine.
Well, I know I'm supposed to be silent, but allow me to butt in here. Maybe you already know that Dan and I are partners in what we like to call green business. We are reusing ways to create attractive items that we sell. Maybe you guys could introduce this concept to your group as well. You could use it to fund your other projects.
I was going to suggest the same thing, Mrs. Jumbe. We wouldn't just use the concept to bring in money. We'll also train the youngsters to empower themselves economically by recycling what others consider to be waste. Yes. Well, this seems like a very good starting point to me. Let's see how far we get by our next meeting. And then we'll discuss where to take it from there.
Any idea what the first projects could be? And how about Mercy? Will she be able to put the counselor's advice into practice? The twins also got some advice about the dead fish, but they didn't even hear it. If you want to know what happens next, be sure to tune in next time. And if you missed today's or any other episode, you can catch up with us on dw.de/LBE or join us on Facebook. Take care.
Crossroads Generation returns on Thursday, same time, right here on Africa Link. And now a brief reminder of our main stories. The World Health Organization says it is doing all it can to contain the rising Ebola infections in Guinea and Sierra Leone. Voting has been extended in some parts of Ethiopia in an election criticized for falling short of true democracy. And South African retired Archbishop Desmond Tutu has called for consideration of the old as the world moves to sustainable development goals. And that's all we had. For comments on the show, simply send an email to feedback.africa@dw.de. A letter to AfricaLink DW 53110 Bonn, Germany. Or an SMS to country code 49160957 59510. From me, Crispin Mwakideu, have a lovely day.